Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Now, as you'll be aware, the American student Otto Warmbier was released from a North Korean jail a few days ago, but he was severely unwell and has since died. His freedom came following various back-channel discussions, including efforts from the former governor and diplomat Bill Richardson through his foundation. Bill's on the line. Good afternoon, Bill.
Good afternoon. Nice to be with you.
When did you get involved in Otto's case?
About a year ago, Otto's family asked me to get involved. My foundation specializes in trying to get political prisoners out of dictatorship, various bad regimes. And in the course of the year, I had 20 meetings with the North Koreans in New York at the United Nations, their representatives there. And one delegation late last year from my foundation went to try to secure Otto out in exchange for some humanitarian assistance. All private efforts, not government efforts. I think the State Department, the U.S. government, deserves credit for getting him out. But, you know, it's a tragedy. He was in a coma, and the North Koreans have a lot of explaining to do.
During that period of time, did the family have any contact with Otto or know anything of his well-being?
No, they had no contact with Otto. The North Koreans didn't allow Otto to call. They limited access. In fact, they almost prohibited access by the Swedish government that represents the United States in North Korea. So nobody was aware of their condition. So the North Koreans have to explain, how did this young man end up in a coma a year ago? Was he beaten? Was he tortured? The excuse they've given of botulism and a sleeping pill does not medically wash. So I think this is a massive crime against humanity. This is a violation of human rights. A young man, 21 years old, who made a mistake stealing a political banner. Now he's passed away and the parents are crushed.
And very understandably so. Now, you and your foundation do, as you mentioned, some experience in this kind of thing, particularly with North Korea. Are North Korean jails particularly brutal?
Yes, they are. It depends where they put you. They have some prisoners in gulag prisons. They have them in work and labor camps. Sometimes they put them in hotel rooms. It varies. North Koreans use these prisoners, Americans, Canadians, as bargaining chips. Mm. They want something in return if they're going to release them. But with Kim Jong-un, the new leader, we never heard what the North Koreans wanted in return. And I think credit has to go to the American State Department that went in there and demanded that he be released after learning inexplicably that he'd been in a coma for a full year.
During all the meetings that you had and the meetings that the director of your center had in North Korea, did they indicate the state of his health?
No, they never told my representatives from my foundation late last year that Otto was in such a severe condition. In the 20 meetings I had in New York at the UN with North Korean representatives, they never told us. But it could be that the North Korean representatives in New York didn't know. They weren't informed by the leadership in North Korea. It's a dysfunctional government. And It could be that some people are so afraid to tell the leader, look, there's a tragedy emanating with this young man in a coma. We must return him. Maybe they don't like to give bad news to the leadership there. We don't know. It's such a maelstrom. It's such a situation where information is so littlely disseminated to anybody.
And when you have meetings with North Korean officials, do you get the impression that they're particularly well informed about what it is you're discussing?
No. When we met with the North Koreans in New York, they're diplomats. No, I think the decision making is all in Pyongyang and North Korea. Basically, they're messengers. They don't make policy. They do represent North Korea at the United Nations. They do interact with United States, those are the official representatives that we talk to. But no, I think the real power in North Korea is the military, the security forces. These are foreign service officers from North Korea that I meet with. that appear to be reasonable, but ill-informed.
Mm. So essentially, it's a process where you're talking to them, they're relaying the message back to Pyongyang, and then you get the response then in a subsequent meeting.
That's right. And they don't always get prompt responses from Pyongyang. You think maybe they're not listening to their diplomats in New York. I think power is very concentrated within Kim Jong-un and his very immediate circle, and everybody's afraid of him. I mean, here's a guy that has killed his opponents, his own family. He's afraid of power shifting within North Korea. He's 33 years old. We know very little about him. He shoots off missiles, nuclear weapons. I think the best solution is diplomacy to cool down the crisis. And I think China needs to do more because they have major leverage over North Korea and they haven't done enough.
Mm. One wonders, though, if anyone can control Kim at all, or perhaps is he something of a more an unknown quantity?
Well, he's an unknown quantity, but nobody can control him. He's in total control. It's a cult of personality in North Korea. If anybody has leverage, it's China, because they give them food, economic assistance. 80% of North Korea trade goes through China. But I think China likes to have disruption in the Korean Peninsula. They like a messy situation so that the United States and other countries like South Korea and Japan don't get a little more power there. They like the instability. Mm-hmm. That's my guess.
Yeah.
China could do a lot more. They're the only real lever on North Korea, but they haven't exercised.
In previous encounters you've had with the North Koreans to try and get prisoners home again, is it generally aid they're looking for, or can it vary?
It varies. They want sometimes humanitarian assistance, sometimes food, for instance, because a lot of their people are starving. Other times they want high-level visits, like President Clinton, Jimmy Carter. High U.S. officials have gone there, and they like the publicity about the ex-presidents asking. So high-level visits have been part of the bargaining chip negotiation with the North Koreans, and then you get the prisoners out. I've gotten a couple out that way. But now with Kim Jong-un, I mean, we never heard what the North Koreans wanted in exchange of Otto Warmbier. And the problem is there are three other Americans detained there and one Canadian. So he still has some bargaining chips, but we don't know what he's going to do with them. I think the important thing is he should realize, Kim Jong-un, the North Koreans, they made a major mistake with Otto Warmbier. The world is in an uproar, disgust at what they did with this young man. They should unconditionally release these four prisoners they have now as a means of contrition, as a gesture of goodwill, to kind of mitigate the damage they've caused with the treatment of Otto Warmbier, which I think is a violation of the Geneva Accords on treatment of prisoners.
Yeah. When they look for aid in return for prisoners, Bill, do they admit that their people are starving? Because as I recall, when there was a famine there in the 90s, North Korea pretended there was no famine.
No, the government does not admit there's a famine, but they do ask for aid. They do ask for that, and it's usually privately done through the United Nations, through the Food for Peace program, through other Nordic countries that give them food. The U.S. government cannot officially give the North Koreans anything because of sanctions, except for some very limited humanitarian assistance. So what my foundation was proposing to them was private assistance to pay for some of the flood assistance they requested. We have American soldier remains from the Korean War. We offered to pay for those remains in exchange for the remains coming to the U.S. as a way to get Otto back. But the North Koreans never responded. They just listened to my representatives, and they offered, my representatives offered my going to try to negotiate the release. And we never got an answer from the North Koreans.
Now, Otto was given, as most people listening would know, 15 years hard labor for taking a propaganda poster, apparently, which is, you know, an overreaction by any stretch of the imagination. Those three Americans and the Canadian that you referred to, what are they arrested for, ostensibly?
Well, ostensibly for crimes against the state. What is really curious is two of the three are professors, Korean-American professors, at Pyongyang University, which is a technical university. They're really trumped-up charges. They're not solid. These are people that teach in North Korea. They're peaceful people, and the North Koreans have apprehended him to perhaps use as bargaining chips, or because of their hostility, the bad relationship with the United States. They pick on Americans, although one of the four detainees is a Canadian of Korean descent.
Bill, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That's Bill Richardson there of the Bill Richardson Center for Global Engagement. We're going to take a commercial break. After that, legalizing witchcraft.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check to the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.